He's Northwestern Medicine VP. Call Dr. Most right now.
Dr. Trill here, 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman, Mary Sandberg, Dave Ennett, Steve Grzanich, Mary Vandeville here. Steve Cochran back tomorrow on the program. I've had that song stuck in my head for at least a week, Doc. I don't know what it is. I found myself humming, Doc Most. And my son is like, what song is that? I'm like, I'm not sure what song it is, but I listen to it every Monday. But Doc Most joins us. He is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here. Medical marijuana on the subject today. Oklahoma last week became the 30th state to approve the use of medical marijuana. This is fascinating because, of course, marijuana in general has become such almost positive if you think about the way that people look at this drug. I think it's 60-65% of the country has changed their point of view on marijuana. And medical marijuana is obviously becoming a huge alternative for opioids and other pain medications. Where are we with medical marijuana? Why don't we start with the fact that this is the 30th state to approve medical marijuana. This seems like this is going to be approved in 50 states, correct?
You would certainly hope, Justin, because there's been enough, whether anecdotal or whether the studies have shown that there is definitely a place for medical marijuana in the country and in the state. So, you know, 30 states have them, but each state's a little different. Illinois has a fairly extensive list of medical conditions that can be treated with medical marijuana. Other states are a little bit tighter with which can be treated. Other states are a little bit looser as far as possession and things. So, you would hope that after 30 states, it's kind of hitting a tipping point, and we need to look at it from a federal point of view now versus just a state.
Well, the U.S. Attorney General has come out and said that's probably not going to happen under his watch. But
yep.
But I'm intrigued by medical marijuana because this has been almost a way for marijuana to be brought into the mainstream, almost like a loophole. Because even there are some that have, of course, the states out west have approved recreational marijuana use, but legal to make it legal. But for medical marijuana, this is something that more and more states are approving because they're seeing what possibly could be the attributes of this, of marijuana.
Absolutely. You know, we already know that there's, you know, a couple main chemicals in marijuana, THC and CBD, that we know they work to a point where we have medications based on that. So we know that the effect is there and we know that it works. We just haven't gotten to the point of it not being to the FDA saying we will approve it. So, you know, hey, when I look at what uses it can be used for and some of the stories that you hear, it's definitely something we need to move on.
So I know other medicines in our lives that we take now, you know, 40 years ago it was for something else, and then it was something we started using, and we just don't know that anymore because it's happened too long ago. Marijuana has a bad rap because people use it recreationally, but opioids people are using recreationally as well. You know, like they're not, but it has this hanging over it that people are going to all become addicted to it if they start using it. Do they have studies showing that it doesn't lead to this if you've been given this for a treatment for cancer or, you know, when you're going through chemotherapy or for PTSD, that you then, it's a gateway drug to all of a sudden you're going to start doing other drugs?
Yeah, that's a great question because, you know, when we look at addictive properties, people enjoy the use of marijuana, but they don't, quote unquote, get addicted to it. So they don't have to rush and have that all the time. They're not chasing that high. And you make a really good point about the gateway portion of it. A lot of people and a lot of studies have shown that the gateway study of it is actually through the drug supplier. So, you know, you're going to a drug dealer and he's like saying, hey, you know, you like this marijuana, I want you to try this. And now they're lacing the marijuana with something else to make it more potent. Okay. So a lot of people feel that the gateway portion of it is I'm getting exposed now to cocaine, to heroin, to opiates by someone who can get them to me very easily versus it's just going to be a drug that, boy, once I get tired with marijuana, I'm going to move on to cocaine. So there's a lot of argument there as far as it being a gateway drug.
For the medical community, and I would ask for, you know, for you personally, I'm intrigued by how you're your approach to marijuana has changed, because I would think that even 10 years ago, 20 years ago, the stigma and, of course, all of the information around it was pointing the medical community in a different direction. What do you think it is that moved the community towards this being a legal and a positive drug?
Well, you know, I think when you finally get down to scientists studying the drug itself, it gets away from the social portion of it, and now there's science behind it, which is what we really need more of. We need some big studies to do this, because we've had studies on mice, we've had studies on other, you know, rats, but what we really need is we need some really big, large studies on people with specific medical conditions. If you can show me a large study that shows that, boy, this works better for patients with something as simple as arthritis, I'm going to say, wait a second. Marijuana will be less expensive than some of the arthritis medications we take, and it'd be less toxic. Some of the arthritis medicines we take are very toxic. So, you know, you have to do that balancing act of, is it going to be as effective, and what's the cost of it? So when you look at those two things, I think you're going to start to see that medical marijuana is going to play a big role in some some conditions.
Let's talk specifically about what medical marijuana can do for certain illnesses. Dr. Kevin Most on the line right now. Our segment each week on Monday, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. We'll take a quick break, come back with Doc Most. Dr. Kevin Most with us on the line, as he is every Mondays here, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. We're talking medical marijuana this morning on the Cochran Show. As the 30th state to approve medical marijuana, Oklahoma did so last week. It's interesting because this is becoming a cottage industry. Obviously, the regulation will put some drug dealers out of business, but the regulation is also creating small businesses galore who want to get into the medical marijuana business. You know, when you talk about medical marijuana as an industry, you know, is it a good thing, obviously, that more and more dispensaries and other people want to get involved in this? Or do you start to, you know, have the same problem you have with opioids where, you know, everybody wants in, so there's issues with the price and how it kind of plays out?
No, I think, you know, the nice thing about having dispensaries is it's much more controlled than it is the marijuana on the street. So we know what's in there. We know how strong it is. And that's probably the biggest thing, is to have some control over that. For opiates, we know that they're out there and they're getting through the process of being produced properly. It's a matter of we're using them in higher doses than we should use them. So it really, it's a quality control right now that as these states get improve medical marijuana, you're starting to have quality control in what I'll call the product, and it's going to be much safer for those individuals.
Is there an issue with overdoing prescriptions or over consuming marijuana the same way that there would be an issue of people taking too high of a dose of opioids?
No, there's never been a dose. There's never been a death from an overdose of marijuana, believe it or not.
Wow.
So, you know, pharmaceutical companies do a lot of research, and then they have get insurance for, you know, if something goes bad on medicine you take. So the cost is really high on that. Is marijuana going to, those dispensaries and the people that are, I guess, producing it or growing it or whatever, are they going to have, like, are we going to see an increase with the demand higher in the cost of it?
Well, that'll be interesting, because, you know, one of the things with marijuana is you have your sense of judgment sometimes, and inhibitions are a little bit decreased, I'll say. So are they going to be responsible then for the actions of that individual? That would be the only thing, because the rest of it really has shown to be it being somewhat safe, much safer than opioids, I'll tell you, much safer than some of the arthritis medications that we take. So it would be interesting to see how the insurance companies are going to rate these drug companies.
They just need to put that little sticker outside the packaging that says, don't take this and drive, just like your regular pain
medication.
It's
on you. Yep. That's all I was going to say. Right? This is still
don't
on you.
Drink and take this. You know, right. Those warnings.
Doc, I'm intrigued on where you're seeing medical marijuana used most, because we know glaucoma, that has been something that has been the butt of many jokes about the idea of, I have eye problems, give me marijuana. But where are you seeing medical marijuana used? Is it cancer? Is it, as you mentioned, arthritis? Where do you see it having the most impact?
Yeah, two quick things. One about glaucoma, because it is very interesting, right? People say, oh, you know, it's great for glaucoma. And yeah, it is great for glaucoma, but we have to realize that really the effect of that only lasts for about 4 or 5 hours. So in order for it to really get the effect for all of glaucoma, you have to use it regularly. So that's the people that are pushing back saying, oh, it really doesn't work for glaucoma. And I'll say, well, the medicines that we take for glaucoma, you have to take 4 times a day anyways as well, so it kind of balances. But you hit it on the head. The biggest thing is for cancer patients right now. If I had a drug that could eliminate nausea and stimulate someone's appetite, that is what I want for those patients taking chemotherapy. Chemotherapy, yeah, right. You're nauseated the entire time. You feel terrible. You have no appetite whatsoever. So here we are. We're trying to keep you as strong as we can as we give you this toxic drug to fight cancer, and yet you can't take the caloric intake because you just feel terrible. So that's probably the biggest one right now. And you'll see that. You'll see oncologists saying, hey, you need to take this because this is what's going to help you get through the chemotherapy.
So there's a texter from the 847 that's asking about CBD oil. And I know, not to say that dogs are the same as people, or in your world, if you're listening, if dogs are the same as people, you can take it that way. My yep. sister's dog has thyroid cancer, and they're going the treatment of CBD oil, and it has helped him immensely in his diet and wanting, because they need him to eat this anti-cancer diet, and, you know, so yep. that's been really effective. How about for humans?
Yeah, and that's the other interesting thing. You know, there's a lot of cannabinoids in marijuana, but the two main ones are THC and CBD. The very interesting thing is that for seizure control, for the anti-inflammatory, for the pain portion of it, it's the CBD portion that actually works the best. Now, I'll tell you, the argument is that the THC portion is the portion that gets you high. So if we're saying, wait a second, this medicine's going to make us high, it really isn't, because the CBD portion of it in higher is the one that's going to stop the seizures. You've probably heard of Charlotte's Web. You know, that's the one that is going to be, that's the portion of it that's going to work the highest. With the genetic modification you can make on plants right now, growing a marijuana plant that is high in CBD and lower in THC, you'll still get that high feeling, I'll say, but you're going to get the medicinal benefits of the CBD, which is the pain management portion of it, the seizure control, and some work in the brain as well.
That's so interesting, too, because I think that there's, obviously this all goes back to stigma, and it goes back to perceptions, because there's this perception with medical marijuana that you're prescribing medical marijuana, and you get a bag of, you know, leafy weed, and you're rolling joints, and you're getting high and smoking out your neighbors. That's not necessarily the case, especially with the new treatments and the new advancements in how they grow this plant. It can be used in so many different ways, oils and food and other ways, as opposed to the traditional smoking.
Absolutely. And, you know, you're at the tip of the iceberg, and you actually are allowing individuals to do this. I think you'll start to see, once pharmaceutical companies get into this more, and if they're allowed to get into it more, you're going to start to see more creative ways to get this to a dosing place where it's better and to where it's safer. But again, the medicinal marijuana in the dispensaries in each of the states are very well controlled, but there's a lot of people who skirt that and are going back to, you know, just straight off the street drug dealers.
Dr. Kevin Most joins us every Monday. Today we talk medical marijuana, and I really enjoyed the three-part convo we had on insurance as well last time. And we look forward to next Monday. Dr. Most, thanks for joining us.
You got it, Justin. We'll talk to you soon.